on air, online, on Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Good morning to you. A foggy drive on the way. Polly, how was your drive in? Was the fog kind of...
It was pretty foggy. It wasn't too inhibiting, but definitely foggy.
God, you sounded like radio people because I was about to say dissipated and you said inhibiting. Sound like we know what we're doing. That's a good start to a Wednesday morning here on the program. Okay. Hey, Polly, I think that you probably... have seen this already. Did you know that the relighting of the Sam the Record Man sign is happening tonight in Toronto?
I know that they were doing something with it, but no, I didn't know that was happening tonight. That's great.
It's been shining down now on Yonge and Dundas Square for a couple weeks, but the iconic Sam the Record Man sign will mark its official relighting tonight. Ryerson University, the City of Toronto, and the Snyderman family will host that ceremony, which starts at 5 p.m. Just such a piece of our... I mean, if you spend any time in this what I lovingly refer to the city of Toronto as the center of the universe. It was so funny. Last night, Scotty, so we have our house here in Kitchener, and then Scotty works in Toronto. My partner works in Toronto, so we have a condo in Toronto, which is like the most stupid expensive thing you could ever imagine in your life. And anyway, so Scotty said, do you want to know how much Toronto thinks it's the center of the universe? He lives in Toronto. And I said, yes, I do want to know. He said, when I type in the word Toronto into my iPhone, it automatically capitalizes the entire word, Toronto, like it's yelling at you. So that's why we call it the center of the universe, because it's funny. And the rest of Canada likes to make fun of Toronto, even though we love you and we love your restaurants and your sports teams and your what else do we love? Polly, give me something quick.
I don't know, hockey. I was going to say, I'm going to Toronto next week for a meeting at our company headquarters.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be done at 4. And they said, yeah, the bus should be back here at the station by 5. I'm like, are you really?
Who said that?
One, I don't know. Whoever planned it, but it was probably somebody in Toronto
that
who
person.
Has no idea what a hassle it is to get to your city.
So Scotty drives from Queen Street to Long Branch, Etobicoke. I think it's about 17 clicks. He goes. At 5 o'clock, never less than 45 minutes. I was like, you'd be quicker to walk. Why don't you just walk? So, I mean, if you can't even get out of the city in 45 minutes, how the hell are you going to get from you know, Mississauga to Kitchener in 15 minutes?
I told Marnie I'd be home probably around 10 o'clock.
You might be home the next day. Here's how bad it is, Paul. I'm going to the same meeting as you are next week in Toronto. I'm taking my own car and I'm spending the night at the condo because like hell, I'm driving back in that traffic at 5 o'clock.
I hear you.
So I'll get up at, 3 o'clock in the morning the next day to come back and do the show on our sister station because that's better. The drive at 3 o'clock in the morning is an hour. It is an hour. Okay, what was that about? Oh, yeah, Sam the Record Man sign. So it's going back up. And we've just recently in our home, we just got a record player, and we're loving it so much. And just being at a record store, we visited some great record stores around town here. Great one. I think it's called Empire Records, which is on King in Kitchener. We had a great visit there. Gosh, that is fun. I had forgotten how much fun it is to go into the record store and just kind of flip through, you know, albums. And the cool thing about, you know, having a record player now at 40 is my musical likes are so much bigger. They're so much wider than they were when I was a kid that, well, first of all, it's way more expensive because, you know, you want to buy more records. But there's just a lot more to look at. Did I tell you this? Did you guys know Twisted Sister did a Christmas record? I almost bought it. I should have. I just wanted to hear Twisted Sister sing Oh Come All You Faithful, which we ended up finding on, I think it was on YouTube. Sounds exactly like We're Not Going to Take It. Exactly. If you want to have a laugh.
Oh Come All You Faithful.
That's exactly it, Polly. That's exactly it. It's kind of hysterical. And you can tell, I mean, obviously they did that purposefully. But yeah, so much fun, the record. So that's a cool thing tonight. I hope we get to watch some of that. I was reading that on our from our sister station in the center of the universe, 680 News. So hopefully we'll be seeing that on the news as they relight that ceremony, the Sam the Record Man sign tonight. Okay, so let me apologize to you again for my raspiness and my dramatic pauses. There'll probably be a few times I have the badness. I don't know what I have here. And actually, when I woke up this morning, I thought to myself, perhaps I should just stay in bed. But then I thought, no, get up and drink some tea and have some lozenges and just deal with yourself, okay? So I did. So now I'm that jerkwad who came to work like sick. But here's what I've understood. Like, my symptoms were contagious like 5 days ago. You know, when you have a cold or something, once it presents, it's like too late. I infected all of you guys 5 days ago. That's when I infected you. So when you show symptoms, I mean, I'm still sorry, but anyway. Okay, we're going to talk to the public education officer from the Waterloo Fire and Rescue. We've had some fatal fires in Canada. That terrible one in Oshawa just last week. We're going to talk about that coming up at 9:15. Also, does a local pub's discount for women violate a man's human rights? There's a London pub that has a promotion that offers women a 13% discount as a nod to the wage gap. And that has prompted a possible human rights complaint, the restaurant's owner says. We'll talk to the owner, Mark Saray from Morrissey House, coming up at 9:30. And let's start here this morning. Probably you've heard about the Tim Hortons protests put on by the Ontario Federation of Labour, suggested by them for sure. And this action that is on today. When Ontario's minimum wage increased to $14, Tim Hortons immediately began to eliminate workers' paid breaks, reduce access to basic drug and dental benefits, eliminate uniform and drink allowances, and even cut hours. The Ontario Federation of Labour says this is outrageous, coming from a wildly profitable multinational corporation. What say you? *570-519-570-2545. Happy to be joined this morning by Chris Buckley, who is the president of the Ontario Federation of Labour. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, so we know that, like you mentioned in the press release, that, you know, this is not a tiny small business that's operated, you know, independently in terms of, you know, the local kind of mom and pop shop. I mean, to own a Tim Hortons, you have to be worth at least $1.5 million. Is that right?
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, and there also are a large number of small businesses across the province of Ontario that are not even considering doing what Tim Hortons has done as of the increase in wages across the province. And that's what we find so disrespectful. So we're out today at approximately 8 to 10 locations across the province, sending a strong message to RBI. We expect RBI to use their muscle and influence to inform these rogue franchises across the province. They need to pull back. They need to get their hands out of workers' pockets, and they need to live up to the spirit of the new law, which is in place as of January the 1st. The Ontario Federation of Labour is going to mobilize right across the province to make sure that every worker in this province, whether they belong to a union or not, is protected under the law.
And that's right. I mean, I've seen some great stories, even locally, of people who, before this was even law, that they were paying people a fair living wage, small business owners who understand that, you know, if you want people to work hard for you, the best way to do that is to treat them well.
No, let's face it. The raise in minimum wage, the increase in wages will help lift over 1.5 million Ontario workers out of poverty. That's a significant increase to workers. The previous wage was $11.60 an hour. There were so many Ontario workers working 2 and 3 minimum wage and still going to food banks at the end of the week to put food on the table. Now, $14 an hour isn't huge, but we sure appreciate it in this province, and we appreciate that the government took the steps to increase the minimum wage, along with improving employment standards and labor law. But since this announcement come out, since it was made into law, there's some rogue franchises related to Tim Hortons that have put their hands in workers' pockets. So we are not going to stand idly by and allow this to happen. I have sent a strong message to their CEO, Daniel Schwartz, yesterday, asking him to intervene, asking him to use his muscle to convince these rogue franchises to stop disadvantaging workers. And to the franchises across the province that have not done anything negative to workers, I want to thank them.
Yep.
Because that's the right thing to do.
Yep.
This isn't rocket science. If you pay workers a decent wage, at the end of the week, when the food's on the table and the bills are paid, any extra income, they're going to spend in the communities in which they live. That helps build thriving communities and, in return, a stronger, thriving economy in the province of Ontario. The increase in wage will generate $5 billion a year into the Ontario economy. That's a lot of money that's going back into our communities. So to these rogue franchises that have now reached into workers' pockets because out of spite they had to give them a raise, I ask them to pull back and reinstate what they've taken away from workers. If not, the Ontario labor movement is going to mobilize and act like this province hasn't seen in a long time. We worked very hard for the last 2 years pushing the government as far as we could to improve the lives of workers across the province. Now, Bill 148 is law, and I expect every employer in the province to live up to the spirit of the law.
It all seemed rather un-Canadian to me. I mean, it's just, you know, we treat people well, and there didn't seem to be a lot of shame either. Of course, you mentioned that this is not all Tim Hortons stores that are doing this. But as the press release states from you guys at the Ontario Federation of Labor, you know, the parent corporation of Tim Hortons, they set the tone, the price, the rules for every store and every franchisee. So the parent corporation could absolutely step in on this issue.
You are correct, and that's why I'm asking Daniel Schwartz to step in immediately. If Mr. Schwartz decides to do nothing, I will do what I have to do as the head of the Ontario labor movement, and I can guarantee you one thing. I will not sit back and let workers be disadvantaged. And to those workers who find themselves in precarious type employment, join a union. That's how your rights are protected. That's how you make gains in collective bargaining. Now, if there are any other workers that are experiencing negativity as a result of Bill 148, I would suggest that they call the Bad Boss Hotline, and the number is 1-855-531-0778, and we will take action. Listen, I expect there to be pushback when workers got a raise. We fully expected that. The business community was up in arms for the last year or so, but it is now law, and everybody has to abide by the law. We want to create the Ontario we want. It's no secret. Over the last decade, we have lost hundreds of thousands of good-paying permanent jobs in the province of Ontario. What we're left with today in Ontario's economy is mostly jobs that are in the retail sector, the service sector. So if that's the type of economy we're going to have, workers deserve to be paid appropriately.
Chris Buckley, strong words from the president of the Ontario Federation of Labor. We thank you so much for your time this morning and those feet on the ground fighting for the little guys today. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime. Thanks. Take good care. Okay, it is 9:18. So maybe we'll come back to that because we do have another guest. I made producer James book us solid today because there's a lot of issues to get to and I needed help to kind of save my voice. So we do want to talk about fire safety coming up after the break with John Percy from the Waterloo Fire and Rescue. But we can come back to that too. Just send me an email. Did you participate? Are you boycotting Tim Hortons today? Jennifer@570news.com. Tell me your feelings on that. And maybe we'll come back to it after the news at 9:30. Let's take a break and come back with some fire safety reminders after this. 570 News.
when extreme weather hits. Count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center.
It has been a deadly, deadly week here in Ontario and in Canada with two terribly fatal fires. The one closest to us, of course, was in Oshawa, Ontario, on Monday. Pardon me, I said last week earlier. That was incorrect. It was on Monday. And in the wake of the tragedy, we thought this morning it'd be a good idea to talk to you guys and to talk to Waterloo Fire and Rescue about some fire safety reminders. John Percy, Public Education Officer, joins us this morning. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jennifer, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too. What a horrible kind of story that we've watched unfold that comes from Oshawa earlier this week. And you know, as we start to learn more about the people involved in that fire, of course we learn that there was a gentleman who was running back in to save family members. But of course, I dare say that's probably not something you would recommend people to do. And that we have, you know, better plans to prevent things like this from happening.
No, and you're quite right, Jennifer, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, a huge tragedy, and it breaks our heart in the fire service in Ontario that today, in 2018, people are still dying in fires. And this is a huge tragedy that on Monday, and the thing that happened in Oshawa was, you know, this happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you think, if for the people listening, at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're getting ourselves ready to go to work. We're getting the kids off to school. And it makes you wonder, how in today's society do people die in fires, you know, during the day? And it's very tragic. Yes, a 50-year-old man, he very heroic and tried to get a mother out, a 36-year-old mother and her two daughters, ages 9 and 4. But it through these tragedies, we have to remind the people that, you know, it's so, so important to have working smoke alarms on every single level of your home. They are the early detection. They are what's going to make you aware there's a fire in your home and give you enough time to get out. So, and it's actually the law in Ontario. So we have to remind people that, you know, it's not just us wanting people to have these things. It's actually in the law. No difference than you have to wear your seatbelt when you're driving. Don't text and drive and all the other requirements. So please, folks, I can't stress it enough. There's a tragedy. But on the same token, there's positive to all this. You know, it's not all gloom and gloom, but that actually the same day on Monday, on January 8th, out in Keswick, Ontario, working smoke alarm saved the life of a man who was in his house. The fire started in the garage. This was about 11 o'clock in the morning. He was asleep in the home. The smoke alarm did its job. It woke him up, and thank goodness, it saved his life. So it's not all doom and gloom. I want to be positive, and I want to remind people that it's so, so important. These things do work, but you got to make sure that they're operational, that you have them, and make sure that you test them. That's the key message here.
So, and how often are we testing them? I mean, it used to be like kind of when you change your clocks back. Is that enough?
Well, that's a good point. What we recommend the fire service is check them once a month. So when you're checking them, what we tell people is there's usually a test button on them. So either get up on a stool, a ladder. If you can't reach there, take a broom handle, because some people may not be able to get up there. So you want to test them once a month. Periodically, just take the outside of a vacuum brush and vacuum the outside of them, because they do get dusty. And yes, you're exactly right, Jennifer. We change the clock. Let's change the batteries if they're battery operated. Now, we have to remind people listening, some of the newer homes, maybe they're all just electrically wired and they're connected. They may not have a battery backup. So what I would recommend is either you switch them out that have a battery backup, or make sure you put a battery operated smoke alarm right next door, because if the power ever goes out, they're not going to work for you.
Yeah, good tips. Okay, so what about when we're talking about our kids and those escape plans? I mean, I remember being, you know, in school and doing that in school. Is that a program that still exists in schools? But I mean, even if it does, I would imagine it's incumbent on us as parents to be making a floor plan that works for our family specifically in our house, not just, you know, those tips about feel the door, go to the window, that kind of stuff. We need to really be vigilant that our children understand exactly where to go and what to do in case of a fire.
Well, you're exactly right, Jennifer. And the interesting thing is the children are really, really good because under the Province of Ontario Fire Code, it actually mandates that in elementary schools, they are mandated to do fire drills in each of the semesters, in each of the terms. So we find the little boys and girls, They know what to do when the fire alarm goes off in school. So we tell the parents and we tell the little boys and girls, say, well, you're so good at doing fire drills at school. You got to do them at home. It's not the law, but we highly recommend that for every household, and it doesn't matter if you live in a house, an apartment, a condo, you need to have a home fire escape plan. You need to have two ways out. Don't just think you're going to get out through the front door. And you got to practice the plan. It's like everything else. If we don't practice it, we're going to forget about it. So little boys and girls are good that way. So that's how we try to push it on them. We're so, so good at school. We got to bring that in the home environment, because the reality is in the province of Ontario, majority of the fires occur when we're at home, when we're sleeping in the middle of the night. So it's so important. People need to have working smoke alarms. They need to have a second way out. Now, why is that so important? Look outside the window. We still got a ton of snow out there. I want to remind everyone, please, if you're still shoveling the snow, make sure you have cleared the snow from a second exit from your house. It could be a side door, a back door, because there's a good possibility if there's ever a fire, you may not be able to use the front door. So you need a second way to get out.
I just, before we go, want to appreciate the fact that every time I've met firefighters from the city of Waterloo or the city of Kitchener out with my child, they've always been so great at saying, hey, you want to see the truck? And then what I think is so important is they've always made it very clear that what they look like with their equipment on. You know, hey, if you ever see me with this equipment on, it means I'm there to help you, because that can be a little daunting and a little scary to a kid. But gosh, the city of Waterloo and Kitchener do that so well. I mean, every time I've seen them out, they've offered that to my child. And this is when they're, you know, maybe at the grocery store or doing something, not even at a community event where that's the focus.
Well, you're exactly right. And we, in the region of Waterloo, Jennifer, all the fire departments, we try and we go to as many events as we can out in the community, because it's so important. The reality is when someone calls 911 and there's a true emergency, our firefighters don't have time to be talking and showing a truck. And you know what? And as parents, we're so diligent. Don't talk to strangers. So the first thing when I go to talk to the boys and girls is, okay, yes, I'm a stranger, but I'm a community helper. I'm here to help you. So if you ever need help in an emergency, so we actually use those opportunities during non-emergency situations to talk to the boys and girls, to show them our equipment, to show them the truck. And yeah, you're exactly right, because it is a little daunting and scary when you see these strangers and they sound funny, and you know what, and you think, well, mom and dad says, I can't talk to a stranger, and they look really strange. They look like they're from Star Wars. You know what, we use as an opportunity to educate, to get that awareness piece out, because at the end of the day, we need everyone to remember fire safety is so important. It happens anywhere in the province of Ontario. Look, unfortunately, it happened in Oshawa. They have four people have died because of that. So we have to use it as an opportunity to educate, to make people aware. We're here to help you, and don't ever be afraid to call 911 if you need help.
Thank you so much, John Percy, for joining us this morning. Public Education Officer from Waterloo Fire and Rescue. Thank you for the work, and thank you for your passion.
Our pleasure, Jennifer, and feel better.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. It's a good thing I can't transfer whatever this is through the microphone to the guests or to you, Polly. That firewall guy might be screwed, though. News next at 9:30. That's on the way. And then we'll get to the story of a local pub in London who offered a discount for women to highlight the wage gap and were met with some interesting complaints. That's next.
John Wilson's Weather Guarantee. Weekdays at 7:11, only on 570 News.
Thanks for coming back with us on Rogers Television. Hello, if you're watching us on Channel 20 today, and on 570 News as well. You can join the conversation anytime you'd like at star 570 or at 519-570-2545. Email works as well, Jennifer, at 570news.com and at JenCampbell77. You'll find us on Twitter as well. There is a pub in London, Ontario, called the Morrissey House, and they have a discount for women, 13% off on lunch and dinner items on Mondays. And that was designed, this promotion, as a nod to the wage gap. The restaurant's owner joins us this morning, Mark Seary from the Morrissey House in London. Good morning, Mark. Am I saying your name correctly?
Hello?
Hi, how are you? Hi. Can you hear me?
I'm here, yes, I am.
And how did I do with the pronunciation of your name?
Well, my dad says it differently, my brother says it differently, I say it differently, so you did just fine.
It's lots of individuals there. I did. Right. It was, strangely enough, it was the word pronunciation that had me in trouble there. Okay,
like spelling misspelled wrong.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so tell me a bit about the Morrissey House, which now is, as a raging feminist, is now on my list of places to come and visit and have something to eat. It looks divine, but okay. Tell me a bit about the restaurant in London and your kind of history in that biz, because it's a tough one.
The history is a tough one?
Yeah, well, the restaurant biz, yeah. I was behind a bar for...
Not known.
No, the restaurant biz is tough enough without people, you know, taking you to the Human Rights Commission, but we'll talk about that
absolutely.
In a second. Yeah.
The Morrissey, next week is our 8.5-year anniversary. We're located downtown, right in the middle of all the hotels. I started at the University of Western Ontario, running the campus bar, and moved to a downtown bar and finally opened my own, like I said, just over 8 years ago. A little bit of great food and craft beer.
Your patio looks amazing, too. I'm sure at this time of year, it's
nice.
Not so nice right now, but come
not
June.
Not so nice right now.
Yeah. No. Okay, so, you know, this is, you are definitely someone who is very loyal to the city of London. And what kind of food are we talking about?
A little bit of everything, from jambalaya to really good homemade hamburgers. We do a really nice baked and grilled wing, so it's not deep fried, it's not coated, huge salads, comfort food.
I must say, as again, someone who worked in restaurants and bars for, well, I'll tell you, I was a way better bartender than I was, than I am a radio DJ. So Mark, I'm just putting that out there in case, you know,
okay.
In case I get fired in the next six months or so. But, I will say from my experience, and it has been a while since I've been, slinging beers, but, you know, it wasn't always the friendliest place for women, the industry for women to work in there. You know, I don't know that a lot of restaurant owners have been historically concerned with women's rights and women's issues. So tell me why then you were tackling the gender pay gap by way of this discount that you were making.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there in that the industry, for the last few years, we've had these great discussions. It kind of started a couple of years ago with Jen Ag in Toronto, a Toronto restaurateur, the Black Hoof in Toronto, when she created a symposium to talk about women's issues because of the harassment and the abuse in the kitchens and that kind of thing. And just that there aren't enough women in positions, in management positions, or as chefs or as owners, or when it comes time to find investors to open restaurants, that women aren't high on the list. So the conversation's been going on for a couple of years, and then you add in the harassment scandals in the States over the last 6 months with Mario Batali, Ken Friedman from the Spotted Pig in New York, John Besh and his restaurant group, you know, all these hugely famous restaurateurs in the States that are now no longer in charge of their own companies. And then, of course, the Time's Up movement and the Me Too movement. And when we looked at all that, we had some success with our International Women's Day program. Every year we did a discount on that day and seemed to be greatly appreciated. So when we were trying to find a new idea for Monday nights, because we had done a pub quiz for 8 years, and it was kind of my brain was hurting from writing the quiz and hosting every week, that we decided that this was the way to go. And it was something that we could monetize, in that, you know, you can't give a discount for harassment, but you can give a discount for the gender wage gap.
So you called the promotion Mind the Gap, of course.
Yes.
The kind of the tribute, the homage to the London subway system.
Exactly, yes.
And this just meant that women, you know, coming in Mondays for lunch or dinner would get, yes, that 13% off their bill.
Correct. Exactly right.
We women earn, you know, 87 cents to a man's $1 here in Canada. Okay, so how long had the promotion been going on before you got wind that there might be an issue?
We hadn't even run it yet.
Oh, jeez. I just totally snorted there because it's so crazy.
I had posted our initial promotion for it on Saturday, and about 3 hours later, I got an email. And it was a very respectful email. He wasn't angry. He said he understood what we were doing, but he thought it was wrong that we were fighting discrimination with discrimination, and that if we didn't cease the promotion, that he would lodge a complaint with the Human Rights Commission.
And what did you decide to do?
I said, can you please wait until Tuesday, as we haven't even run the promotion yet, and that we were going to run it, and that I thought we were doing the right thing. And if it came to it, then all the better, because it would probably prolong the conversation.
Absolutely. There's a saying in my business, in this business, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, I think our Google reviews might change that idea. As last night I checked, and I think we had about 20 new one-star reviews.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm promising not to look at that page again today.
Okay.
Keeping the negative away.
You can't ever read the comments. Those the review sites are tough, aren't they?
Well, I will tell you something. Last night when I got home, Fox News had picked up the story. And if you do not want to read the comments, do not read the comments on Fox News.
No. Do not read the comments on Fox News. No. It doesn't say much for being hopeful. Okay, so now do you think, and I mean, I know that's hard for you to kind of look into the internet and decide who these people are, but do you think that those one-star reviews were some sort of like campaign, or are these separate individuals who all kind of align themselves with that kind of thinking that this is in some way discriminatory?
I didn't click on their names.
Right.
I know on our Facebook page that there was definitely a concerted effort by a Facebook group that responded to almost every single one of the comments with pretty much the same kind of story. Like, my sister makes more money than I do. Why don't I get the discount? That was a concerted effort as an absolute.
Right. Yeah. You knew that people were, that was kind of a rally there. Now, okay. So let this be a rally, here and now for people to, if they so desire, and I certainly hope they do, if you can have an understanding further than your own experience. And that is what, is required when it comes to issues of this, that kind of argument, well, I don't see it, so it must not exist, is just, it's very short-sighted and kind of ignorant. So let this be a rally then to people who are listening right now to maybe go and visit the Morrissey House in London and have some food, and then perhaps boost some of those stars up to where they should be from people who are actually enjoying the product and perhaps have the right perception.
That have been there.
So now we don't know yet. Like, there's not actually been confirmation from the Ontario Human Rights Commission that an application has gone through, but that would probably take some time.
I would think. I haven't checked myself, but I know the news reporters have, and they said it's a little bit too early. That even if he lodged on Monday, that it would be weeks before it would pop up in the system. But the good thing is, because of Twitter and because of social media and how great people can be, we had one of our local lawyers let us know that we were probably going to be okay because there was a case heard 4 years ago, also in London.
Yeah. Actually,
it came down in favor of the bar, who was offering a reduced cover charge for women, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and her name is Susan Toth. Is that correct?
Yeah,
yep. who I really just followed on Twitter this morning because I loved her comments about that.
She's great.
She mentioned how she loves your restaurant and supports your idea. And I thought about that case too a few years ago, where there was a complainant who said, you know, giving women a free drinks or a free cover charge is discriminatory. And I mean, even because that concept in and of itself is sexist and kind of predatory, because we all know anybody with a brain in their head or a beer in their hand or who's ever been to a club, the only reason that clubs do that is to kind of get women in the doors, get them, you know, drinking and perhaps, you know, have that kind of, you know, fish in a barrel kind of theme for the guys that they present in the advertisements for such a promotion.
Right.
So,
which is sexist in itself.
Exactly. That's sexist in itself. This concept of that you have is exactly the opposite of that. I'm not really a fan of you know, ladies get in free kind of that the concept, because I find it to be kind of predatory. But your concept is exactly the opposite of that. And if the Human Rights Commission dismissed that case of that man who said, you know, why don't I get free cover and free drinks, that the history says that probably you guys are on the right side of history here and are going to be fine.
And he's not paying more. I'm not asking him that
to
pay more for his meal.
Right.
So I think that might help as well. You know, it's a funny, social media is so funny. Like I said, it can be so positive.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it kind of allows people to come out of the woodwork.
We're speaking this morning to Mark Seary from the Morrissey House in London. His pub offered a discount for women on Mondays, 13% off as a nod to the wage gap. And you've, gosh, I really just admire your whole business sense and your soul here, Mark, because after all of this kind of happened, you decided that now you'd make Mondays even more about a woman's night. You're going to do some donations to local women's charities as well?
Yeah, we've got four in mind right now that we've worked with in the past. So London Women's Women Abuse Center. London Abuse Women's Center, My Sister's Place, which helps take in women, ANOVA, which and Lifespin, which is all about families. And in discussions this week, not only are we kind of donating a percentage of our gross sales, but because I had a woman email me and say she was she thought we were taking pity on women and she didn't need our pity because she was making as much as the men in her work. And we kind of went into a conversation about it. And by the end of the conversation, I said, great, how about this? If you don't want your discount, let us know. We'll add that to the donation dollars.
Gosh, I love this, Mark.
So we're going to start that on Monday.
Amazing. So you will not back down, in the wise words of Tom Petty. This continues. The Mind the Gap promotion continues at the Morrissey House in London.
We'll give it a go.
I'm just super thrilled to talk to you, and I think you are a revolutionary mind in the restaurant business. And I thank you for all of the women who work in restaurants and all of the women who work everywhere. You know, as these conversations have unfolded, we've asked for allies. We've asked for men to listen. We've asked for men to offer support, and you are doing that with feet on the ground. And I can't be more happy and proud to speak to you and to come and visit and eat some food at your gorgeous restaurant too.
Well, ally is the word I like. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
And let us know when you're coming.
I will do that. I can't wait to come. Maybe we'll do lunch and dinner.
Okay.
Mark Seary is our guest right now from the Morrissey House in London. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye. 5:49. So do we want to talk about that? Let's talk about that. Oh, gosh, I'm getting some emails. Come on, people. Listen, I'm under the weather. Okay, I'm under the weather, and I need some allies on this issue. So we'll get to some emails. Oh, we got a good one to get to first up in response to this issue after the break. And then what else do we have to do? Is that about it? Is that about it, Polly? Well, we have other things. We have some other things. We got a few other things.
We had that Piers Morgan thing.
Yeah, do you have that? Do we
have
the audio on that?
I have that audio if you want to use it.
That's Piers Morgan was grilling Tonya Harding over the Nancy Kerrigan attack, and then Tonya Harding, she got angry. From what I understand, you do not want to piss that woman off. Anyway, we'll get to that. That's next on 570 News.
We crowdsource our traffic. From the bumper-to-bumper crowd surrounding you.
Real-time traffic solutions from sources across the city and you. Your traffic team is 570 News. Kitchener's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.
Okay, so we've got some interesting responses coming in on the Tim Hortons story, the Tim Hortons boycott story. If you want to talk about that, star 570. 519-570-2545. But right now we're continuing the conversation, too, about Morrissey House in London, the local pub, who is giving a discount for women on Mondays, lunch or dinner, 13% off, and that is a nod to the wage gap. Women in Canada make 87 cents per every dollar a man makes. And I mean, we can fight about a lot of things, but you can't fight with facts, with stats. You can't argue with that. That is just the math. So quickly, I get an email from Bruce. Bruce emails Jennifer at 570news.com. Bruce says, I won't be visiting this restaurant because I don't think you should be rewarded for accident of birth. And my wife thinks you are very opinionated. Is that supposed to be an insult? That I'm opinionated? It's probably what's made me make equal pay to men, Bruce. Served me well, this being opinionated. So I'm not sure if that's supposed to be an insult, but it's kind of what I do. It's like a job requirement. So thank you to your lovely wife. I don't think you should be rewarded for the accident of birth. Well, Bruce, you've been rewarded by the accident of birth many times in your life. Just by where you were born as a Canadian, you've been rewarded. That's called privilege. Just by being born male anywhere in the world, the accident of birth, you have been rewarded. That's called privilege. And I don't really feel like it's my job to explain it to you. If you have a brain in your head, the information is very accessible to you. You can do the research quickly and easily. It's kind of a big topic these days. But here's my point. When we talk about equality, when we talk about equal pay, this short-sighted, well, I've never seen it before, so it can't possibly happen. When you're somebody who's going to sue the human, or you're going to contact the Human Rights Association of Ontario because women are getting a discount that you're not getting because we don't make as much money as you, to highlight the issue, that's the epitome of privilege. That's exactly the problem. And I'm sorry if your brain can't wrap around it, but keep trying. Keep trying. It's imperative that it does. It really is. And here's the other thing. The idea of equality is just that. It's not a pie. It doesn't run out of pieces. Nobody is trying to take anything from you. Women being paid equally doesn't mean men are going to be paid less, but that is frightening for a lot of men because the entire balance of power has been so skewed for so long that simply suggesting to people that things should be equal, because the experience of the male has been always that one of the power. When we say equality, you think that means we want the power over you. You think we want to switch the existing lay of the land. That's not what it means. It means equality. But you, and I don't mean, I'm not directly you-ing. I'm saying white males don't seem to be able to process that because for so long you've been in charge and have held the power on 99.99.9% of the things. You can't conceive that equality doesn't mean you're going to lose something. Oh, okay. So, and Bruce responds, I can't actually read the first words Bruce responds with. I'm rewarded for hard work. And trust me, I've worked harder to get where I am than you have. Well, see, but Bruce, this is what I'm saying. First of all, how could you possibly know that? Did you have my resume, Bruce? No, you do not. And this is not a competition. I'm not trying to work harder than you, Bruce. I'm trying to make sure that everyone gets paid what they deserve to get paid. Why are you so angry about it? And if you are as angry as Bruce is about equal pay, about the wage gap, if your first instinct is to deny that it exists, examine why you're so defensive about it. Why? Why does this bother you so much? Why do people getting paid an equal, fair wage, why does that upset you so much? Because I dare say, if you dig a little deeper, the only answer to that is that there's a lot of sexism happening inside your heart and your soul. And then dig a little deeper and find out why that is, too. We're out of time. We're going to have to do Tanya Harding. Tanya. Oh, God. The Tanyas and the Tanyas hate it when you do that. Sorry. We're going to do Tanya Harding and Pierce Morgan tomorrow because we'll be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that as well. Thank you. Oh, made it through. I'm going to go bleach this mic sock so that Mike Farwell doesn't catch the badness. And we'll see you tomorrow.